and they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. Hello, listeners. This is Nick from Scripture Central, and today's podcast addresses the question, why are childless women prominent in the Christmas story? Just as the Gospel of Luke begins with the account of the angel Gabriel's appearance to the temple priest Zacharias, assuring him that his wife would yet bear him a son, many stories of prominent women in the Old Testament, including the three great matriarchs, Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel, begin with a similar problem. Although each of them was barren, God's promises and covenants would be kept through divine and joyous means. These stories of childlessness and miracle children were certainly not lost on Luke, a medical physician, who begins his account of Christ's birth with another barren couple. Like Sarah and Abraham, Elizabeth and Zacharias were well stricken in years. In spite of seeming impossibility, none of these faithful wives and husbands gave up hope that God would some way give them a child who would be a special servant of the Lord. In each of these cases, sacred promises and the temple were central to their faith and hope. Speaking of Sarah, Paul says, "Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised." Joseph Smith explained, "Zechariah, having no children, knew that the promise of God must fail. Consequently, he went into the temple to wrestle with God, according to the order of the priesthood, to obtain a promise of a son. Hannah also went up to the house of the Lord to pray for a son, and vowed to consecrate him to the Lord if her desire was granted. An angel appears to Samson's mother to declare that she would have a child and that she would need to consecrate him to the Lord. She and her husband interact with the angel again, making an offering at a temple altar, ask the visiting angel for his secret name, and declare that they had seen God. Into this backdrop of temple, hope, and miraculous births, Luke introduces the Virgin, Mary. According to the little-known early Christian text, the Infancy Gospel of James, Mary herself was a miracle child born to an old barren couple, Joachim and Anna. This text opens with Joachim making offerings in the temple, but he was asked by administrators to desist and leave because of his barrenness. He goes into the desert lamenting, ponders on the story of Abraham, who was given a child in his old age, and fasts and prays for a child. Anna also laments and prays that God would bless her, as he had blessed Sarah. An angel appeared to both Joachim and Anna and tells them that they would indeed bear a child, and Anna vows that the child would be consecrated to the Lord. Joachim then goes to the temple to make offerings, where this blessing was confirmed to him. They give birth to Mary. And at the age of 3, Mary, like Samuel, was dedicated to the temple and raised there until she began having her menstrual periods and was then espoused by the high priest to marry a worker in the temple named Joseph. As the story in Luke continues, Mary was soon visited by an angel who tells her she will bear a child even though she is a virgin. She thus goes from Nazareth to visit her aged cousin Elizabeth, who, unbeknownst to Mary, was now pregnant with a child who would be John the Baptist. While in the presence of the surprisingly once barren Elizabeth, Mary utters her poetic Magnificat, a psalm of praise that, as scholars have noted, echoes much of the terminology and phraseology of the joyful psalm of praise given by the once barren Hannah in the Old Testament. Mary, no doubt, felt a kinship to these women who miraculously found themselves pregnant. Hannah's initial plea at the temple and her subsequent psalm of joy included lines echoed in Mary's Magnificat. O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumble are girded with strength. They that were hungry ceased. The barren hath borne 7. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. Mary's words clearly echo those of Hannah. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. She will not be forgotten. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen, or helped, his servant Israel, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. In temples, and through the covenants associated with them, the Lord's people in all ages received certain promises. Such promises were given to Adam and Eve when God gave them dominion, royal and priestly authority, over the earth or the land, and commanded them to be fruitful and multiply, in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. These same promises were given to Abraham and many others when God gave them priesthood, land, and promised posterity as numerous as the stars. These same promises have been restored in our day and figure ultimately in the sealing ordinances of the temple. The Father's great plan involves the coming forth of His children into this world, including the great and the small, the noble, and even His only begotten. To fulfill His purposes, God can direct and protect the birth of children, both in time and throughout all eternity. The fact that the promises of God pertain not just to eternity, but also to the mortal era, is also taught in the Book of Mormon. The promises which we have obtained are promises unto us according to the flesh, that my covenants may be fulfilled which I have made unto the children of men, that I will do unto them while they are in the flesh. A belief that God's promises were for time as well as eternity may have spurred the barren women and men to keep hoping and acting in such faith even in the face of old age and seeming impossibilities. As Paul said, that Sarah had faith to conceive because she judged him faithful who had promised. And as Joseph Smith said, that Zacharias knew that the promise of God must fail if he didn't have a son. So the angel informed Mary concerning Elizabeth, with God, nothing is impossible. The miraculous pregnancies of these women were signs to all Israel and all the world that God can indeed fulfill his promises in time as well as eternity. As if to punctuate God's full might and ability, Mary's own pregnancy was an even greater miracle than the pregnancies of very old couples. Her only child comes into the world in such a way as to be the sign that deliverance from all of sins, all of our lowly fallen states, has been given, and that all the promises of God in temples will indeed be fulfilled in time, just as Mary's first Christmas song declares. Through his covenant, God indeed lifts up the poor and beggars and makes them kings and queens. He protects his people from their enemies and all who are barren, both literally and figuratively, will indeed bear fruit. And not just in eternity, but in this temporal and temporary world as well. Exactly when or how he will fulfill his promises to each of us is not fully known and is an individual matter, but surely the millennium will have something to do with it. That era is part of the time of mortality and is the appointed moment when Christ will restore all things, that his faithful followers can become kings and queens in the Father's eternal kingdoms of glory, healed with resurrection's power, and brings joy from every tear. As the scriptures above testify, God works miracles among those who constantly act in faith, even before that eternal day, and even when the fulfillment of his covenantal promises seems impossible. At Christmas time, we can be assured that if God the Father can cause a virgin to conceive, then he is able to fulfill, both in time and eternity, every promise he has made to all who follow his Son. With that assurance, we too can break forth in song with Isaiah and Jesus. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. Thank you for listening to this presentation from Scripture Central. For more information, please visit scripturecentral.org.